Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What does leadership really look like? On The Power of Advice, a new podcast series from Capital Group, you'll hear from athletes, entrepreneurs, and executives who've led on the field, in the boardroom, and in their communities. It's not about titles. It's about impact. Discover what drives them and the advice they carry forward. Subscribe and start listening today. Published by Capital Client Group, Inc.
There's actually a lot of people out there that think they got away with murder.
This is an absolutely ideal place to live.
But the beauty of a cold case unit is that in some cases, we're just one step behind you.
We're never going to give up. As a detective, you can't do that.
My name is Pat Pastiglione. I'm a sergeant in the Metro Nashville Homicide Cold Case Unit.
My name is Bill Pridemore. I'm a detective assigned to the Homicide Cold Case Unit.
And we're working on the Janet March case. Perry March was an attorney in Nashville. Janet was an aspiring artist. She had two children. She was reported missing to the police on August the 29th, 1996. At one point, they probably had a good marriage.
She adored him.
At one point, they were probably a loving family.
Janet was really a wonderful mother.
At one point, they probably had a pretty bright future. But things changed drastically in the blink of an eye.
She was going to take a vacation.
Initially, Perry's story made sense.
His story was she went on a vacation and she was going to be back.
And she said, "See ya." And she started her Volvo and she drove off.
The further along the investigation went, didn't make much sense.
This was not a woman that would ever leave her children.
Within days of her reported disappearance, his actions became suspicious. He would not consent to any police interview. We believe that Perry killed Janet March the night of August 15th, 1996, between 8 and 9 p.m.
with the kids upstairs.
Asleep.
There is no evidence that anything has happened to Janet.
Metro police have searched high and low for Janet March.
Prosecuting someone without a body is not an easy thing. Perry moved to Mexico with his children. Got married.
I've told the children the truth, that mommy left home. We don't know what happened to her. It's very sad, but that's the truth.
Perry believed that he outsmarted us. It was pretty clear that he thought he was sitting pretty.
I love it here.
His arrogance was almost like him laughing at us.
I have a great family. I had a great dog.
Every single day, we worked on it, every single day. And I think after 9 years, we didn't feel like the information was going to get any better.
And the district attorney and ourselves decided, hey, this is as good as it gets.
Let's go ahead and do it. Let's take a shot.
After nearly 9 years since the disappearance of Janet March, we today are announcing the arrest of her husband, Perry March.
Mr. March, how does it feel to be back in Nashville?
Anything you want to say?
As he walks into a Nashville courthouse to be booked on charges of murder, there's no telling what's going through the mind of Perry March. He might already be looking ahead to his next move. Or he might be looking back on the series of events stretching back 20 years that have led up to this moment. Back to the day he married Janet Levine.
Hi.
Back to the birth of his son, Sammy.
Who has the camera?
And his daughter, Zippy. back to the night 9 years ago when his wife Janet disappeared forever. Back to the day he became the lead suspect in her murder.
Mr. Marsh, do you understand that you do have two indictments here?
Yes.
And back to the day he fled with his children to Mexico to live happily ever after.
And you do understand the charges on the indictment, is that correct?
Fairly well. Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Is it finally over for Perry March? Up to now, he's always managed to outmaneuver everyone. Now he's about to try again and make a move that will change everything. A move that will finally reveal the truth about what happened that summer evening in 1996 when his wife Janet disappeared.
That night, did you kill your wife?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Perry March, who first spoke with us in 2002, has never wavered in his account of that night.
The worst I'm guilty of is letting my wife walk out of my house.
March said after he put their two children to bed, he and Janet began to argue.
You know, it's the kind of argument that you have when you're both tired of the arguments.
His wife was going away, Perry March says, for 12 days. She'd be back on August 27th, just in time for their son Sammy's 6th birthday.
And she had prepared a list for me of a lot of things that needed to be done. Change the light bulbs, balance my checkbook, clean the basement, you know, just a varied list of things that I had seemed to have dropped the ball on over the course of my 10 years with her. And she made me sign her list that I would have these things done when she got back. And she said, "See ya." As the last indication I've ever had of Janet was the driveway sensor beeping.
He said she got angry. She packed some bags and she left in the car.
At midnight, March called Janet's parents, Larry and Carolyn Levine.
What did you think?
I said, "Perry, don't worry about it. I'm sure if you had an argument, she's upset. She's probably driving around to cool off and she'll be back. Call me when she comes home."
But Janet didn't come back in the morning.
Did you become worried at that point?
Yes.
Was she the kind of woman who would disappear for a stretch at a time?
Never in her life. Never.
I mean, there's nothing that I've ever known in Janet to say that she would ever leave.
When they found out, Janet's friends became worried as well.
That's just not who she is. She wasn't a flighty person.
I mean, she's the kind of person you say she was one of a kind.
She had a wonderful sense of humor. She's very, very funny. And she was very, very talented. Shockingly talented.
What kind of plans did she have for her life?
Her kids.
Marriage, a home, a family, an art career.
The Levines had watched their daughter fulfill those plans one by one. In 1987, she married her college boyfriend, Perry March.
Was she in love with him?
Oh, absolutely.
Janet and Perry began building a life together, settling just a few miles from her parents.
I cared about him a lot, an awful lot.
Janet loved him, and we wanted to do everything we could to help him.
Janet's parents did help him. Larry Levine paid Perry March his way through law school and later hired him to work in his law firm.
He treated me as a confidant and as a son.
Meanwhile, Janet devoted herself to a promising art career and her two children, Sammy and Zippy.
And she was very close to her children.
This is Zippy's little soft tummy.
Somehow, Janet also managed to find the time to build a new house for her family.
She had designed it totally herself. This was her dream home.
Janet was living the life she dreamed of.
This was her home. This is where Janet was. This was her life. So for someone to say she chose to leave is ludicrous.
This was so unusual. This was not anything Janet would have done.
She didn't come back the next day?
No.
Were you worried?
I felt that if she didn't make it back the first night, then maybe she was really at a hotel, you know, kind of luxuriating quietly.
You thought this was just some...
stunt. Couple days.
But after another day went by, Perry March says he became worried enough to call his father, Arthur, who was living in Mexico.
He said, "Dad, Janet's left. Would you come up and help me watch the kids until she gets back?"
A few days later, Arthur March arrived, and still no word.
People then really got worried when she didn't show up for Sammy's birthday.
At that point, I knew that Janet was dead.
How did you know that?
Because she would never, ever not come to her son's party.
That's when I was panicked, because wild horses would not keep her from that birthday party.
Yet for all their worrying, neither Perry March nor Janet's parents called the police until 2 weeks after Janet disappeared.
Carolyn and Larry would not let me report it. They were very concerned that if we reported something to the authorities, it would end up embarrassing Janet.
But Larry and Carolyn Levine say it was Perry March who didn't want to call the police.
Perry insisted he didn't want to go to the police. He wanted to go see a private investigator.
They say they wanted to go to the authorities, and you're the one who insisted they not go to the authorities.
Then all I can say to you is that that's an outright lie.
Why did it take you 2 weeks?
That's my mistake. That's my mistake, because I was living with these people. I love these people.
It was the biggest mistake we ever made, but Perry kept telling us, you know, maybe she went here, maybe she went there.
He told us her story.
He said...
And unfortunately, I believed him.
We believed him.
I believed him, but I guess I was suspicious.
Carolyn Levine couldn't help thinking about the conversation she had with Janet on the day she disappeared.
She asked me to go with her the next day to see a divorce lawyer. I was concerned for her marriage. It never occurred to me that I should be concerned for her life.
Initially, what we had was a case of a man saying that his wife had left and had not returned.
At first, Nashville Detective Mickey Miller treated Janet March's disappearance like any other missing persons case.
The first thing we did was start checking credit card accounts and things of that nature.
Did Janet March leave any kind of trail at all?
Nothing.
Then, just a week into the investigation, police found Janet's car.
It was in this area right here.
Parked in an apartment complex just a few miles from the March house.
Well, we found a lot of her personal effects, including her passport.
This was no longer just a missing persons case.
This morning, the Levine family and their friends posted a $25,000 reward for information leading to the location of Ms. March or her body.
Now, it was a homicide investigation.
We just don't believe that she left that house of her own accord.
And the prime suspect was Perry March.
Is there anyone else you're looking at as a suspect in this case, sir?
Not at this time.
But the fact that Janet wasn't reported missing for 2 weeks was working against them.
It gives somebody, whoever committed this crime, a chance to dispose of the body that would make it difficult to locate. And of course, you lose evidence with time.
Police searched the March house from top to bottom.
We vacuumed all the floors. We collected the vacuum bags out of the vacuums that belonged here. We even processed these hardwood floors for fingerprints and palm prints.
But it was what police didn't find that bothered them the most.
One of the items specified in the search warrant was a computer inside the home.
Perry said that when Janet left, that she had typed out a note, basically a contract between the two of them for him to sign.
That list was practically the only piece of evidence that backed up Perry's story. But the police didn't believe him. In fact, they wanted to see the computer hard drive because they believed it would show that Perry, not Janet, had written the list. Problem was, the hard drive was missing. Someone else had gotten to it first.
Did you remove the hard drive on your computer?
Absolutely not.
Did somebody you know remove it?
Well, there's two people who are high on my list that could have removed it, people that I know. One of them is Larry Levine, and the other one is my father.
Perry March's father, Arthur, was staying at the March house shortly after Janet disappeared.
Did you take the hard drive out of his computer?
I don't even know what a hard drive is.
As for Larry Levine,
did you take the hard drive out of Perry March's computer?
Absolutely not. I had nothing to gain by trying to get at it.
Meanwhile, police were also concerned about something else they didn't find: the tires on Perry March's car. 6 days after Janet disappeared, March replaced the tires with new ones.
Did the tires need changing?
Not according to the tire company. In fact, they questioned why the tires were being changed, and Perry said that he just didn't like the type tires that were on the car at the time. He wanted a different brand.
As investigators struggled to come up with enough evidence to charge Perry March, he stopped cooperating with the police.
They couldn't find some other reason to explain Janet's being missing. They couldn't find anything. And therefore, it must be me.
Then he packed up and moved to Chicago, taking with him his two children, Sammy and Zippy.
And I'm worried about how they're going to be raised. I'm worried about the values that he's going to bring to these children.
Would you folks like to comment on anything?
The Levines immediately filed for visitation rights with their two grandchildren.
Any comment, Perry?
But March fought them for 2 years.
Mr. March, where are your children right now, sir?
They're the kids now.
I asked her how much visitation she wanted.
I'm hoping this will be a great day.
Carolyn Levine told me she wanted my children 365 days a year, 24 hours a day.
Watch yourself, Michael.
Then, in 1999, once the Levines were granted visitation rights, Perry March was nowhere to be found.
Why did you move to Mexico?
I moved to Mexico because I needed to get the hell out of Dodge and start a new life and get out of their clutches.
He and the children were already far away, in Ajijic, the Mexican town his father Arthur had retired 2 years earlier.
What's not to love? Sky's blue, the beer's cold, and the Mexicans are warm. Can you ask for anything more?
Arthur March.
¿Cómo está, bendito?
Oh, muy bien.
Perry March.
Yo no puedo ahorita, okay? Okay, gracias.
Father and son living here in this Mexican paradise. One year later, Perry March and his children moved into this house, along with his new bride, Carmen Rojas, and her three kids.
He's a great husband. He's sweet. He's perfect. He's perfect for me.
Oh, you beat that.
There were still no criminal charges against Perry March.
You think your son is being unfairly accused?
Oh. Is the Pope Catholic?
But that's not what Janet's parents believed.
How certain are you that he's the killer?
100%. Unconditionally positive.
No doubt.
Not even the slightest.
How far will you go in your pursuit of Perry March?
As far as we have to go.
The Levines won a wrongful death suit against their son-in-law and then showed up in Mexico with legal papers granting them visitation rights to see their grandchildren.
How do you have children live with a man who took their mother away from them?
But before Perry March showed up to try and stop them, the Levines took their grandchildren to Nashville and fought for permanent custody.
My children had been kidnapped.
Their victory was short-lived. Thanks to an international treaty, a federal judge forced the Levines to send the children back to Perry March.
Do you ever feel like you're caught in the middle?
A lot.
No fun, is it?
No.
Reunited back in Mexico, Perry March and his family had a lot to celebrate.
And with the birth of our daughter, Azul, it couldn't be better. It really couldn't be better.
But Perry March and his family were totally unaware of what was brewing for him back in Nashville.
What he didn't realize was that we were closing in on him.
The truth, though, is that I love it here. My kids adore it here. I have a wonderful wife and a new family, and I have moved forward.
Perry March may want to forget the past.
It's all belief, absolutely, that he thought he got away with murder.
But Pat Pastiglione is determined to make sure he spends the rest of his life remembering it.
And whether it's 9 years, 9 months, or 9 days, it doesn't matter. We're just one step behind you.
Sergeant Postiglione and his partner, Bill Pridemore, of Nashville's Cold Case Squad, took over the case 6 years after Janet disappeared.
When we became involved in 2002, we had basically circumstantial evidence.
Evidence such as the missing hard drive, Perry March changing his tires 6 days after Janet went missing. Those things and his lack of cooperation convinced detectives March had killed his wife.
Because I haven't done anything and there's no evidence I've done anything.
But detectives still had one major obstacle.
Do we have a body? No, we don't have a body. Do we have anything that indicates she's dead? Blood, for example. We had nothing like that.
Larry and Carolyn Levine had never given up.
I'd like to rescue my grandchildren from a person who I believe killed my daughter.
They have been relentless in trying to get custody of Sammy and Zippy and justice for Janet.
I want to know where my daughter is.
I don't even know where she's buried. I don't even know if he cut her up in pieces.
Years go by and now the case is 8 years old.
The detectives decided it was time.
We didn't want to wait too much longer. The leads are beginning to dwindle. Let's take a shot.
And that's what they did. In December 2004, a secret grand jury indicted Perry March for murder.
And as it turns out, the Mexican authorities were also building a case against him for visa fraud, and they were eager to cooperate. They kicked him out, turning him over to the FBI, who transported him here to Los Angeles. Perry March was finally back on U.S. soil.
We're here this afternoon to announce the arrest of Perry March in connection with the murder of Janet March.
Detectives Pridemore and Postiglione escorted him back to Nashville.
What was he like on that plane ride?
You know, when we got out there, he was, initially he was very timid, very meek. Then he began his conversation in earnest.
He wanted to know what you had on it.
Oh yeah, thought we were just two country cops, country hick cops, going to pick him up, and he was going to find out all he could on that 5-hour plane ride.
Perry March is coming back, and he's coming back in handcuffs.
Mr. March, how does it feel to be back in Nashville?
Anything you want to say?
Perry March was booked on murder charges.
Mr. March, do you understand that you do have two indictments here?
Yes.
March pleaded not guilty.
All right, bring up Mr. March.
And in the hearing 1 month later, he was unable to make bond, set at a whopping $3 million. Was then placed in an isolated unit at the county jail to await trial.
He gets 1 hour out of cell time daily.
He might not have had much time to socialize, but Perry March, seen here in this jailhouse security video, quickly made an unlikely friend.
Russell Nathaniel Ferris. Convicted felon that is not new to the criminal justice system, charged with four violent felonies.
Perry March told Ferris he had a plan that could solve both of their problems.
He starts telling this person how good life is in Mexico, how you, fellow inmate, would enjoy life in Mexico.
And then Perry March made one of the biggest mistakes of his life.
He befriends Nate Ferris and solicits him to kill the Levines.
That's right. Perry March made a deal with Ferris to kill his in-laws, Larry and Carolyn Levine. Ferris played along, but secretly went to the police.
And I can tell you that when he told us that Perry wants me to kill the Levines, we were astounded.
Facing attempted murder charges of his own, Ferris agreed to cooperate.
This is a typical digital recorder. It's about 4 inches in length.
Detectives gave Ferris a recorder like this one.
He would cup it in his hand, and he could turn his hand and hold it this way.
Hoping to listen in on Perry March's plan to commit double murder. Over 2 days' time, Ferris recorded a number of conversations with March.
One of the main things I'm worried about, Perry, is catching both of the things together. You know, exactly.
I think there's plenty of opportunities when my kids aren't there.
When we heard him talk about make sure you do it when the kids are not there, we just found it incredible.
Here's what I want to do. Both of them there. Knock on the door. Boom, boom.
Why would Perry March want the Levines killed?
With his hatred of the Levines, he starts calculating how much better his case will be if they were gone.
Because they're going to testify against
Correct.
Him, obviously.
Right.
What was Farris supposed to get out of this? A one-way ticket to the good life in Mexico.
So the deal he makes with Farris is that if you kill the Levines for me, I'll get you taken care of down in Mexico.
Right.
Treat you like a king, being on the beach drinking Coronas.
And who was going to set him up with a good life?
Ah, no tequila, poquito, sí.
Arthur March. Perry March and Farris cooked up a code name to be used in contacting Arthur March in Mexico. When detectives took Farris out of the isolation unit, Perry March apparently believed he had made bond and was out on the street.
This is the room where we brought Nate Farris in.
In fact, in this room at a Nashville police station.
When the telephone is lifted up, the recorder automatically begins.
Farris was making phone calls to Arthur March.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Bobby Givens. Has Perry March contacted you?
Yep.
Okay.
Said I'm supposed to talk to you.
The first conversation, they're in discussions about killing the Levines 5 minutes into the first conversation.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really?
At a playground?
Yeah, really. Look at these listings from dealers.
Wow, your search can really get that specific.
Really?
And you just put in your info and boom, car's in your budget.
Mom needs a second, honey.
You can really have it delivered?
Really, or I can pick it up at the dealership.
Mom!
One sec, sweetie. Mommy's buying a car.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Kyle, again? Really?
AutoTrader, buy your car online. Really?
Imagine, you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Chime is changing the way people bank by offering a rewarding, fee-free banking experience built specifically for you. Unlike traditional old banks that hit you with monthly maintenance and overdraft fees, Chime believes you shouldn't have to pay to get your own money, which is why they provide access to thousands of fee-free ATMs. I'm always looking for ways to save on everyday purchases, especially with all the extra spending that seems to come up over the summer. Chime can make it easy to save by offering 5% cash back on your Chime card in categories like gas or groceries. Your savings will also grow faster with a 3.75% APY, which is 9 times higher than the national average. Beyond the savings, Chime offers flexible tools like MyPay, which lets you access up to $500 of your pay, and SpotMe, which allows for fee-free overdrafts up to $200. Chime is not just smarter banking, it is the most rewarding way to bank. Join the millions who are already banking fee-free. Head to chime.com/48hours. That is chime.com/48hours. It only takes a few minutes to sign up.
Chime is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services for MyPay and Chime Card provided by Chime's bank partners. Optional products and services may have fees or charges. Stated annual percentage yield and cashback for Chime Prime only. No minimum balance required. Checking account ranking based on a J.D. Power survey published October 20, 2025. For more information on APY rates, MyPay, SpotMe, and travel perks, go to chime.com/disclosures.
You know about our agreement?
No, I'm sorry. I don't know anything. He just said you'd call and I was supposed to listen and talk.
I know things have been hard because of these Levine people, man. It's time that all this is dealt and done with. Colonel, look here. You have that line checked again, and I will get in touch with you Friday.
As Perry March sat in a Nashville jail facing trial for one murder, he thought his new pal, Russell Nate Ferris, was making good on his promise and committing another.
He thought he had Nate wrapped around his finger. The truth is, Nate had him wrapped around his finger.
Bueno.
Hey. Hey, Colonel.
Hi.
Hey, this is Bobby. How you doing?
Using the alias Bobby Givings, Ferris made phone calls to Perry March's father, Arthur, in Mexico.
Bueno.
About the hit on the Levines.
I want to do it maybe like on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, so.
That's fine. That would be next Tuesday or Wednesday.
And it didn't take long for Arthur March to implicate himself in the murder plot.
Tell me what you need, and I'll take care of it if I can, possibly.
Okay, well, I basically, what I need from you, I need an instrument.
The first conversation they were on, within 5 minutes into the conversation, they're discussing guns.
Detective Postiglione.
5 minutes, and Arthur doesn't flinch.
Okay, you gotta take one or two off.
Excuse me?
Just one or the two?
Two. It's got to be two.
Always watch for that kid.
After 2 weeks working out the plan, Ferris called Arthur March to tell him it's all over, that he'd killed the Levines.
Bueno.
Colonel.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Bobby. Look here. Everything's done. I'm in Houston right now.
Ferris gave Arthur March his travel plans for their rendezvous in Mexico.
In his mind, he's picking up Nate, who just killed Larry and Carolyn Levine. In his mind, the job is done. So he's there to pick him up until the FBI agent approaches him.
At the airport.
At the airport.
Today, the Davidson County Grand Jury indicted Perry A. March and his father,
Arthur March, was arrested and brought back to Nashville. And father and son were together again, this time behind bars, both charged with conspiracy to commit murder.
¿Cómo está? No más.
The Arthur March we'd known over the course of this story,
I've been here too long,
has always seemed full of life.
I'm a little bit to the right of Genghis Khan.
Always a force to be reckoned with. When we met up with him months after his arrest, he seemed a totally changed man.
You didn't conspire with your son to have the Levines killed?
I never talked to them. Never talked to my son about it.
You're telling me that this whole arrangement with Nathaniel Ferris had nothing to do, as far as you're concerned, with a murder plot against the Levines?
No, it did, but I was not connected with it.
I'm glad I got to
whatever
talk.
I can do, you just let me know and it'll get done.
When you listen to those phone calls, it sure sounded like you were in on it.
Well, it does. I mean, I have a big mouth and I probably said some things I shouldn't have said.
But Arthur March has only begun to talk. Facing the rest of his life in jail, Arthur is about to give the police the kind of break they'd never dreamed they'd get.
He offers to plead guilty to the conspiracy charge, to give us all the information and cooperate with the investigation pertaining to Janet's death, and testify against Perry if necessary.
He agrees to turn state's evidence against his son.
Absolutely.
After all this. Arthur March always has been his son's greatest defender. Did you have anything to do with helping your son cover up a murder?
Hell no. What murder? What murder?
Do you swear on a firm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
In exchange for a lighter prison sentence, Arthur March agreed to tell all he knew about his daughter-in-law Janet March's disappearance in this videotaped deposition.
The first time that Perry told me about it was at the house when he asked me to clean up. He was afraid there was some blood stains.
Did Perry tell you that he had killed Janet?
Yes.
How?
In the upstairs, he said that they'd had an argument. She grabbed a butcher's knife or kitchen knife, and when it came at him, he picked up a wrench, small wrench, and hit her with it, and he hit her too hard, and she was dead.
Did he tell you it was an accident?
Yes, that's what he said.
And you believed him?
Yes. Why wouldn't I? He's my son. I've always believed him.
As the weeks went by, Perry March kept up the charade that he had nothing to do with Janet's disappearance. Then,
2 months after she went missing, Janet's burial site suddenly didn't seem so safe anymore. The heavily wooded area where her body had been placed was about to be developed. Fearful she would be discovered, Perry March needed to cover his tracks, and so he turned to the one man he knew would be there to help him.
What did Perry ask you to do? What did you do?
The only thing I did was I helped him remove the body from where he had buried it.
Buried just a few miles from the March house.
I picked it up, the body, and it was nighttime. I had one little flashlight, but I got it done.
Perry March sat in the car while his father went to get Janet's body.
What was that like?
Like hell. It was difficult.
They put the trash bag containing Janet in the trunk of the car.
Then we drove to Kentucky.
Arthur March dropped Perry off at a motel and continued on, looking for a remote spot to dispose of Janet.
I was going to put it in the water, like a stream, but I found there wasn't enough water in it, so that's when I took it back and I saw this pile of brush. And I got the idea, well, that's the best way to get rid of the body, because nobody will ever find it. And that's what I did.
Arthur March was right. He tried to help detectives locate the spot where Janet was buried, but they were never able to find her body.
Based on what he described, this was the area.
Still, with what Arthur March told them,
well, it was early in the morning hours.
Detectives were finally able to piece together the puzzle that eluded them for 10 years.
He said he's following the creek all the way along. As he's driving back, he looks up, and lo and behold, there's this brush pile.
And he takes parts of the body, disposes in the brush pile, drives back, tells Perry, don't worry about it, it's taken care of, go back to sleep. Perry just sleeps through this whole thing while his dad is out there disposing of his wife.
This was your daughter-in-law. How could you do something like that?
Because what I was doing was for my son. At this point in time, she was not my daughter-in-law anymore. She was just a dead body.
It was what, just a sack of bones and clothing? It wasn't anything any more precious to you than that?
No. It was something that had to be destroyed so that I could save my son.
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
She was just a dead body. It was over. I had taking care of the body in such a way that nobody would ever find it.
With the startling confession of Arthur March, detectives Postiglione and Pridemore believe they have a solid case against Perry March, despite not finding a body.
The evidence is there. Arthur, the conspiracy, all the tapes, recordings. What else do you want? Yeah. This guy's going down.
Yeah. All right.
In the summer of 2006, 10 years after Janet March vanished,
Texas County Criminal Court Division 1 is now in session.
Perry March finally faces a jury for the murder of his wife. Setting the stage, prosecutor Tom Thurman says Perry March killed in a rage.
This case is about murder, it's about deceit, it's about abuse of trust.
With no direct evidence to connect Perry March to the crime, defense attorney Bill Massey argues no body, no murder.
I don't know where she went. And I don't know if she's dead. You know what? Neither do they.
Her marriage was disintegrating.
Prosecutors may not have a body, but they do have Arthur March, the man who says he buried the body.
He asked me to help dispose of Janet's body.
How did he react to his father's testimony being introduced against him?
The way I looked at it, as if it was some stranger up there lying.
Another key witness is Perry March's jailhouse buddy, Nathaniel Ferris.
What was the crime that the discussion was brought up about?
For me to murder the Levines.
Okay. Whose idea was that?
It was Perry's idea.
Along with Ferris's damning testimony, jurors also hear the audio tapes of Perry March plotting to kill the Levines.
This is my suggestion. Mm-hmm. Just talking. This is exactly how Arthur's doing.
Yeah.
And you take your time in it. You don't make any mistakes. You go carefully. You figure your reconnaissance. You do what you need to do.
But despite the incriminating evidence, Perry March's attorney keeps insisting no one knows what happened to Janet March.
Janet packed her bags.
That she left the house alive the night she disappeared, and they have an eyewitness.
Her son, Sammy, was up in the window. And as she's backing out, Sammy sees her, she sees Sammy. They wave at each other.
She told me that she'd be back soon.
The defense introduces this television interview from 2001 with Perry March's son, Sammy.
She came in, gave me my goodnight kiss, and then I got out of bed and went to the window to wave to her when she was driving away in the car.
The last person to take the stand is Perry March himself.
What's your name? What's your place?
Perry March.
The man who for 10 years has proclaimed his innocence.
I don't believe my wife is dead.
I didn't do anything wrong. I have no idea what happened that night.
Suddenly now has nothing to say.
I choose not to testify.
After 1 week of testimony, the jury begins deliberating.
This is News Channel 5 at 6.
The evidence is in and the jury is out in the Perry March murder trial.
It took 10 years to get to trial, but it takes just over 10 hours to reach a verdict.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Perry Avram March, as to count one, guilty of second-degree murder. As to count two, guilty of abuse of a corpse. As to count three, guilty of tampering with evidence.
Guilty on all three counts. The irony is that prosecutors may not have had enough to convict Perry March when they first charged him with murder.
If the government had to try this case based on proof that they had before going and picking Perry March up in Mexico, then we believe Perry March would be a free man today.
But when the jailhouse plot to kill the Levines backfired, it led to Arthur March's arrest and confession, which ultimately led to Perry March's conviction.
You think in the end it was Perry's mouth that did him in?
Absolutely.
At the age of 45, Perry March will most likely spend the rest of his natural life in prison.
Mr. March is a dangerous offender.
Convicted both of conspiracy to commit murder and second-degree murder, the judge sentences Perry March to 56 years.
I'm sorry and sad that our grandchildren have had to live 10 years without their mother and with the person who took her from them.
Sammy and Zippy are living with their grandparents, Carolyn and Larry Levine, in Nashville. As for Arthur March, the man who helped convict his own son,
what do you think's going to happen to you?
I'm going to die in prison.
The judge rejects his plea agreement of 18 months and sentences him to 5 years.
This is not how you wanted your life to turn out.
I feel badly that I was even involved. If I'd had some sense, I probably said no to the beginning of it, never got involved.
And two Nashville detectives are happy to finally close the book on Perry March.
His days are done in terms of Perry March, that's over. And now maybe the attention will be on Janet versus on Perry. It was a satisfaction of knowing that finally some justice for Janet, so to speak. She's finally going to get some justice.
There's not a day that goes by that I don't think about my daughter. She had so many talents. She was a very caring, compassionate person. Every parent thinks their kid is special, but she really was.
In 2006, Arthur March died of natural causes in prison.